Hi everyone, my name is Providence Makiutimana and my partners are
Jordan Gronick
And Hunter Hayden.
good. So today we're going to go in a little bit more details about some different types of muscular disorders. We might not be able to cover a lot of them because there's a lot out there, but we're going to be able to go in a little bit more detail at least for in at least three of these disorders, and I am going to cover fibromyalgia. So this muscular disorder is it affects more than 3 million people in the US. It is chronic, which means you can suffer from it for years, or it can even be a lifetime. Is caused by extreme stress, injury, a viral infection, and or even a repeated nerve stimulation.
And what are some of the main symptoms of fibromyalgia?
So some of the symptoms, like I said, it's a muscular disorder, so there's a widespread of muscle pain. You can feel some tenderness on your back or neck. And it can also cause cognitive difficulties. That's another thing. That's another big symptom of fibromyalgia. And fatigue is also a symptom.
Are there any known treatments for fibromyalgia?
So, as far as treatments go, there's no cure. Let's just put that out there. There's no cure for fibromyalgia. But it can be managed through therapy, pain meds, and just making sure that you reduce some of the causes of stress in one's life, which can be very hard because let's face it, life is very stressful.
And what are the risk factors that come along with fibromyalgia?
So one of the biggest issue, one of the biggest risk factors that makes me very angry actually is just being a woman, you are at a high risk of having fibromyalgia. And this is because of estrogen decreases pain tolerance. So women tend to suffer from it more because when you are at your reproductive age, your pain tolerance can be lowered by the increase in estrogen in your system. Just having a family history, this can also be some sort of like a genetic illness. Like if you have parents who suffered from fibromyalgia, you are at a high risk of getting it. Or even if you have like a history of other disorders like lupus, you can also transition into fibromyalgia.
Okay. And you said one of the main risk factors is being a woman. And you said it's just linked to estrogen tolerance,
Yeah,
right?
like estrogen decreases your pain tolerance. So when you're a woman and you have reached your reproductive age, it's your estrogen is increased, and some women will even report having more pain due, as they get closer to their menstrual cycle, because your
Okay.
estrogen is high, and because of that, your pain tolerance kind of weakens.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So I assume women are way more likely to get fibromyalgia than
Yeah,
males.
that doesn't mean men don't. Men still do, but it's a high risk in women than it is in men.
Okay, makes sense.
Yes. So yeah, that's all I had for you as far as fibromyalgia. Do you guys have any more questions?
I think you covered it pretty
Yeah.
well.
Yeah, that was good.
All right. Next, I'm going to talk about Duchenne muscular dystrophy. So, Duchenne muscular dystrophy, it's a pretty rare disease. It affects fewer than 200,000 cases per year in the US, but it's still a pretty good amount of people that are affected by it. Most often, it affects males because it's a sex-linked genetic mutation that's found on the X chromosome. And this mutation, it prevents dystrophin production, which will cause muscles to weaken over time. And unfortunately, it is eventually fatal, and there's no cure for it. So it's an irreversible and progressive disease, and it's often diagnosed in children because they start showing signs of it pretty early.
Are there like any management treatments for it?
Some of the main treatments are just physical therapy, trying to use your muscles as much as possible and build up the muscle mass before it starts deteriorating later on in life. There are some medications. I think there's a lot of research going on about it recently, as more is being found out about it and stuff. But there are a few medications out there that are known to help a little bit, but it's still not curable. And then nutrition in general, again, for building muscle and keeping it strong for as long as possible.
And in terms of the medications, how recent is the new research? Like, are these medications pretty expensive, I'd assume?
Yeah, I think so. Some of them are just mostly steroids to help maintain muscle strength. There is one that's known to increase dystrophin production, which is pretty interesting. I'm not sure exactly how recent or effective they are, but they're out there.
Okay.
And hopefully they're getting better with time.
And you said there's no cure, right?
No, there is no cure. It affects specific muscles, and eventually your diaphragm will stop contracting and working. So it's obvious.
What's the lifespan on
the lifespan?
Yeah. If
I think it's about to 40 years old now as medication keeps getting better, but it's about 40. Some die in their early 20s, which is unfortunate cases, but I think the highest is about 40 years old.
Yeah, I just looked it up and I was seeing, 30s and 40s, really. So it's pretty early in everyone's life cycle.
Pretty bad once your heart also starts getting up. So once that starts happening, it gets pretty bad pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. So if you were like diagnosing someone, what are the main symptoms you would look for?
In children, often you'll notice that they're slower to stand and walk when they're first learning how to walk. They'll have problems running, jumping, and weakness in their core muscles and trouble sitting. So just doing basic movements, you'll see that they're a little bit slower than the average child. And that's usually a pretty big indicator that they have Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Also genetic testing. A lot of people will get that done and that'll pick up on it, but usually it's symptoms that are used to diagnose it.
Okay, so I have another question. So if you already know this disorder runs in your family, at what age can you start looking out for these symptoms in your children, like in your child?
Yeah, I think it's probably when they start becoming like having motor skills, when an average child would start walking. So probably after a year, maybe a little bit older as they start getting better at walking and running.
That probably makes sense.
Makes sense.
More like early childhood, toddler age, you'd probably start to know that they're kind of behind other children in that sense.
Okay. I didn't have any more questions. Did you probably?
No, I'm just as far as diagnosing goes, like, do they do blood work or is it just like, you know?
Yeah, they would probably check for the mutation they do like genetic testing to test for it.
Makes sense.
Yep. And I think that's all I have on that.
Thank you.
Duchenne's muscular dystrophy.
So moving on to my muscle disorder that I was researching called myasthenia gravis, which is a neuromuscular disorder. And basically that's just weakness in the skeletal muscles. And it affects between 14 and 20 people out of every 100,000 people in the U.S. So that's a pretty high percentage.
Yeah, that is high. What are some of the main symptoms of muscular disorder?
So it's mainly weakness in the voluntary skeletal muscles. You'll usually get facial paralysis, which is like usually you'll see like a drooping eyelid, difficulty breathing or trouble talking, double vision, and then mainly problems walking around that you'll start to notice if you're having this muscle disorder.
So what are the causes of this disorder?
So usually it's caused by an autoimmune disorder where the antibodies attack the neuromuscular junction. And then the neuromuscular membrane is damaged and reduces the effectiveness of a neurotransmitter called acetylcholine, which will then be linked to weakness in skeletal muscles because that neurotransmitter isn't effective.
Is there a cure?
Yeah, in a way, there's medication you can take. You can get your thymus gland removed, and then also you can do plasma exchanges to try to help with the disorder.
How fatal does this disease get? Like,
this. I think it has definitely gone down since it's been discovered.
Okay. Well, that's good news.
Yeah, it's 1.4 per million. So that's pretty low.
Okay. Yeah, that is rate. Pretty low compared to how many that it affects. Yeah. If it affects like 14 in 100,000. So that is positive news for sure.
Is there any information on whether it affects men more or women more? I don't know if you've already said that.
I believe it. Let me see. It looks like it's more. Yeah, it affects men more than it does women. Let me see why. Yeah, so it's mainly found in women under 40 or men over 60. It can occur at any age. It's not specific to when, like turning a certain age, but it's not specific to age, and it's not inherited, and it's not contagious.
Okay. That's good.
But yeah, which is good. Yeah, which definitely probably helps the mortality rate. Because it's not being passed on from generation to generation.
Definitely.
All right, everyone. So this is our second part because one of our group members just had a time conflict. So this is Matt Gelsack presenting his muscle disorder.
So my muscle disorder is brodymyopathy. Brodymyopathy is a rare genetic disease that one in only 10 million people actually end up having. It can kind of get muddled up with some other disorders because some of the symptoms that I'll go into are kind of overlapping with others. So most cases of this disease are caused by a mutation of the ATP2A1 gene, and it ends up occurring in childhood. The gene is a sarcoplasmic reticulum calcium ATPase, and it just doesn't really encode for the genes. Like it doesn't, it's got some type of issue with its encoding and okay. Just causes this disease.
Okay. So like if you were diagnosing someone, what were the main symptoms that you would be looking for when treating them?
Yeah. So some of the main symptoms, one of the really big ones is people will end up having a difficulty relaxing their leg and arm muscles. So like if they're doing like exercises and different things like that, they won't be able to really, relax their legs.
So they're like always tense. Is that what you're.
Yeah. So their muscles are kind of just like always tensed up a little bit. It can be like in their arms or legs. People kind of get it in their face and their trunk. One of the other things that people have, which it's a little more rare, is like their eyelids and their grip. But from what it seems like, most people kind of start to see it first in their arms and their legs, because, you know, that's the appendages that you really notice, like, your tiredness in.
Mm-hmm.
And the symptoms really get much worse if you're exercising or you're being exposed to cold weather. And then it also gets worsened with stress, you know, because muscles react a lot to our body stress. And then in some rare cases, this would be a pretty big warning sign if you had like all the rest, is myoglobinuria. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but it's a reddening of urine. So this sometimes kind of develops co-in-hand with the bradymyopathy, where the muscle tissue breaks down too much, and then it releases myoglobin into the urine, which, you know, turns it red, gives it the same color as our blood. So, you know, it kind of will freak people out because it looks like you're urinating blood.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. So in terms of the symptoms, is there any treatment that's available for people diagnosed with this?
So there are a few treatments, but there's no cure. So, like, you're never going to be really fully able to get rid of it. Some people have it kind of relaxed throughout their lifetime. If it's bad enough, doctors can prescribe some muscle relaxants. There's a whole bunch of different kinds. Everybody's just kind of got to figure out what works best for them. And that'll treat, you know, like the issues with relaxing your muscles and everything. And then for some people, blood pressure medicines also seem to help. I think it's just like with the vasodilation, and like the constriction of muscles. And other than that, there's really not a whole ton that they can do. It's kind of just something that you have to try to get in check with, like, stress and other issues.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it makes sense. Is there anything else you wanted to comment on your muscle disorder?
No, that's pretty much it. They don't really have a whole ton that they know about it. They know that there's some, you know, like, inheritance issues. One of the big things about it is that it's an autosomal recessive inheritance. But other than that, that's really about all there is to it.
Listening in, and we're hoping to have you tune in next time. So have a good day. Bye.